Why did she do it? Why did she take the alabaster jar of a very costly ointment? And why did she pour it on his head as he sat at the table? Why did she do it? Why did she make this lavish offering to Christ? Why did she give a very expensive gift in such a lavish way? This offering that the woman makes, an offering far beyond the normal means of a person, is an offering of thanksgiving and rejoicing, an offering of preparation, indeed, a sweet savor offering that she made to God. Why did she do it? The disciples did not understand. The disciples questioned it. They wanted to know, why was this done? This could have been sold, and the money that came from the sale could have gone to feed the poor. There are far more sensible things that could be done with such a gift. Why lavish it by pouring it over the master's head? Why give at all? Why do we give? When the offering happened today and the plates were passed down the row and it came in front of you, if you put something in the plate, why did you do it? Did you do it just because it seems to be the right and proper thing to do when the plate comes down the aisle? Did you do it because if you didn't do it, the salaries wouldn't be paid and the lights wouldn't come on and we'd be in real trouble here at the church? Is that why you did it? Why give an offering to God? Why give? That's the topic today, my friends. That's the message that God has for us today from both the gospel reading and from Philippians. Why give? Why give of ourselves? Why give of our prayers and our presence and our service? Why give of our gifts? And this is not some sideline issue. This is not some issue that is sort of ancillary and unimportant and can be laid on the side and sometimes looked at but usually ignored. This is something that is very central to the Christian faith. Did you notice what Jesus said? Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Wherever the gospel is preached, Jesus said, don't forget to tell the story of what this woman did, giving lavishly to God in Jesus. This is important, friends. Giving is central to the Christian life. A theology of giving. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. These things we pray in Jesus' holy and gracious name. Amen. Why did she do it? Why did the Philippians give to Paul? Paul's ministry in Philippi had been a very fruitful time, a very important time for them. They had learned about God, and they had learned about Jesus, and they had learned about the life of faith, and they learned about the joy of being a child of God, and they had learned from Paul the apostle all the things they needed to know, and they had given to him, and he leaves the community, and he goes, and he preaches elsewhere, and he brings the gospel elsewhere. He feels as though he had been fully paid ahead of time. He had no other needs. He was making his own money, making tents. He was a good, industrious person, preaching the gospel and working a full-time job. He had no other needs, and the church in Philippi out of their love and rejoicing gave to him, sent him with a messenger, sent him an offering. And so he writes back to them, and he says to them, "You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving except you alone." He had founded many churches in Macedonia. He had founded many churches. They had grown under his ministry, under his apostleship. They had grown in faith and in rejoicing, but they were not sharing with Paul materially except for the churches in Philippi. "You Philippians know," he wrote to them, "that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once." This wasn't a one-time love offering that they raised for him. This wasn't a one-time event in which they decided, "We're going to help Paul in his ministry over there in Thessalonica." This is more than just a one-time event. This is a repeated event. More than once, he says, "You sent aid, assistance, monetary help to me. You sent me help for my needs more than once." Notice verse 17. "Not that I seek the gift." Not that I seek it. Not even that I really need it. "But I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable to the blessed and pleasing to God, and my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Not that I seek a gift, not that I even really need a gift, not that I want you to continue paying me for the gospel that you received, not that I want you to continue forking over to my coffers your good money for the ministry that I gave, not any of that, no, Paul says. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the credit. I seek the positive note. I seek the goodness. I seek the grace, if you will, that will accrue to your account. What's Paul speaking about here? What is he talking about here? What is he writing here to the church in Philippi about the gift that they gave him? Firstly, it wasn't something that he needed. It wasn't something that he even sought. It was something that they gave. And he rejoices that they gave, not just because he received it. It may have meant that he needed to make a few less tents to support his ministry. No. It's because they needed to give it far more than God or he needed to receive it. Now let's get our minds around that, my friends. Most people give because we have a budget to meet. Isn't that right, Randy? Most people give because we have a budget to get to make up. Isn't that right, Jim? Most people give. I give. I see the offering report. I scratch my head. I look at the offering report. I look at the money that's going out. I look at Peggy or I look at Jim. And I say, well, time to write another check. Most people give because there's a need. when we had children that were going off to camp and we were trying to find a way to finance their going off to camp, we went out and we asked, we talked around and we looked and tried to find ways to get money to go to the kids to go to camp. You target individuals because there's a need. The golf tournament, wonderful opportunity to go out and play some golf. More importantly, it's an opportunity to raise some money. Yeah, for our children's and our youth ministry here at the church. Targeted need. There's a need. Let's go raise some money for it. That's how churches do things, right? Well, we're doing them wrong. When you focus your giving on the need of the church, you're giving the wrong way. Jesus didn't need the alabaster box, the ointment that was in it cracked over his head. Paul didn't need the offering that was sent to him by the Philippians. This church needs money. Point blank and factual. I'm going to tell you something, my friends. We need to give far more than this church, far more than God needs to receive. We need to give. We can trust God with our eternal soul. We can trust God with our health. We can trust God with our relationships. We can trust God with our marriage. We can trust God with our future desires and dreams. We can trust God with our business relationships and our desire for jobs. We can trust God with all sorts of things in our lives. But we can't, for some reason, in general, trust God. Oh, there's one. With God dollar. For some reason, we have a problem trusting God by giving. In communion, we have a means of grace. A way in which we can come and meet the real presence of Jesus again when we kneel at the rail and when we receive the bread and when we receive the cup and when we take them together in faith, knowing that Jesus is here by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to be within us and His grace is poured out into our lives. That idea of a means of grace is something that we can kind of grasp if we work at it in faith. Baptism, the means of grace by which we know that God has chosen us. God has said yes to us. And all we have to do is say yes to God, and God receives us freely. It's a means of grace. Prayer. When we pray to God, when two or three are gathered together and we pray to God, we know by faith that Christ is there. And we know that when we pray, God hears our prayers and grace is poured out into our lives and into the lives of others when we pray. When we sing hymns and we sing the joyous hymns of the church and we know that God is present in our singing of the hymns and our praising and worshiping Him, we know He is there. And all these things we know by faith. That He is there. My friends, the same is true for giving. Giving is a means of grace, a way of receiving anew the wonderful outpoured love and presence of Jesus into our lives and into the lives of all those whom we meet. When we give by faith, Christ opens to us a floodgate of grace that fills us and transforms us to our full need. What did Paul say to the Philippians? After having said that, thank you, essentially, that he had received it and he was glad that he had received the gift because it applies to their account, he says, I have been paid in full. And have more than enough, I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering. It's an offering like was made in the temple And in the temple, would they take the animal and they would chop it up and they would throw it on the fire and roast it, and the smoke would billow up into the air as the meat would be burned as a sweet savor offering floating up to God in glory. So here they sent to him a gift as a sweet savor offering, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. By giving to Paul, they were giving to God. And then he says in verse 19, a wonderful benediction. And my God will satisfy, will fully satisfy every need, not just some needs, not just those needs that are right present at the moment, but every need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I've seen that on plaques, and I've seen that in offering boxes, and I've seen that all over the place. My God will provide all of your needs in various forms. I've seen this quote. But my friends, that was originally written to the people in Philippi who gave a sweet savor offering, a gift, the ministry of God and Paul. It was a word, a promise, a benediction made to those who would give. It expresses the truth of the means of grace, the sacramental means of grace in giving. When we give in faith to God, we receive far more than we give. For God gives us our eternal life back. My friends, we need to give. We need to give to receive. We need to give to live. And we need to give by faith, knowing that when we give, God will open up a floodgate of grace to us. So that just as we come and we kneel and we pray and we receive communion, and just as we stand and we sing praises to God's holy name, and we know that the means of grace are here and true and reliable and we can depend upon them to receive the love that we need to go from day to day, so also when we give by faith, we know that God opens his grace into our lives to transform us and to fulfill all of our needs. I once pastored a church in Oak Cliff, Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church. Wonderful congregation, beautiful people. I'll never forget Father's Day, my second year there. We gave a boutonniere out to the oldest father present, and the father with the most children present, and the youngest father present. The oldest father present was in his 90s. The father with the most children had about four, I think. And the youngest father present was the pastor's father. That was my dad. That church was hurting, my friends. That church was hurting, and I'll never forget preaching a message on giving and a message on faith, and we were coming towards the end of the year, and I wasn't sure where we were going to get the rest of the money that we needed to even pay the light bill and to pay the secretary and to pay the choir director. Janet, you were there. You were there. And I remember sitting in the office on Monday, and Thelma, the secretary, comes in. You remember Thelma. Secretary comes in, she hands me a letter, and I open it, and I scan the text on the letter, and I looked at the check, and I put it back with the letter and handed it back to her and said, okay. And she says, you didn't see it, did you? I said, what? She handed it back to me and opened it, and I looked at the letter again, and I looked at the printed cashier's check. And what I thought had been a check for $10 was a check for $10,000. I'll never forget the tears bursting forth, because that check was just what we needed to make budget for the end of the year. In that one gift, That one act of giving that will remain, the person who gave it will remain nameless. In that one act of giving, God's grace was poured out to this, to that church, to Cockrell Hill Church, in a way that I never expected. And in that one act of giving, the fellow who gave it was graced beyond his expectations. Was graced by a wonderful miracle in his life, in a healing of a broken relationship with his son. And an opportunity to reach out to his daughter as well. God poured out into his life his grace, as God poured out into the church his grace through that gift. And it was a gift to God. We need to give far more than God needs to receive. God, by definition, being eternal and omnipotent and omniscient, has no needs. Church has needs, but we have an even greater need to give. As an act of faith, we have an even greater need to give. And when we give, what Paul says is true. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When we give to God, think about it. I said last week, $20 is just enough to buy your movie ticket and some popcorn and a Coke for two people at the matinee over there at the AMC. $20. Looks like an awful lot, though, when you put it in an offering plate, doesn't it? $20. It's a drop in the bucket in the life that we live, in the life in this world, but it can mean eternity for us in glory. When we give by faith, knowing that God will pour out into our lives all that we need to live. We've heard the message today. The message of God's grace that comes to us when we give. The means of grace in giving. And we've heard the good news that God will pour out into our lives His grace when we give. My friends, let's take an opportunity today to practice that which we have heard. We already had an offering, but we got two more plates here and they're empty. I often wondered, why did we have so many plates up here when we only used a few? Well, we're going to use them today. My friends, my brothers and sisters, we're going to have another offering. Not because the church needs it, but because we need to give. But Brother Greg, I already gave my check, my tithe for the month. Yep, I did too. Sitting right in there, right over there. I did too. But, my friends, sometimes we're called to give beyond that which God already owns. Sometimes we're called to give beyond it. Janet, if you could play Amazing Grace, and if the ushers could come forward, we're going to receive a second offering today. Remember, God pours out His blessings to all when they act in faith. Christ is formed in our hearts by faith, my friends. Act in faith now and receive the blessing that God wishes to give. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we give to You again from our abundance, pour out Your abundance into our lives, and by Your grace fill us and transform us. Bless every person who gives, Almighty God, be it a penny, be it a dollar, whatever it may be, it matters not. By giving, Lord, we receive. We give to You now because we have received. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.